This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Smart Food Popcorn. Some decisions aren't the best, like skipping ahead in your favorite podcast. Think of all the banter you'll miss, the lore in the making. Luckily, Smart Food Popcorn is a no-brainer. Deliciously tasty and available in a variety of fun flavors. It's a smart decision every time. Smart Food. Add smart. To learn more, visit smartfood.com.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Well, here we are, our first podcast of 2020. Welcome one and all to the BBC Music Magazine podcast. I'm Oliver Condy, the editor, and with me in the studio today are reviews editor Michael Beek and editorial assistant Freya Parr.
Hello.
Oh, hello.
So today it's the turn of the February issue, packed with features, news, interviews, over 100 reviews and lots of Beethoven. Of course, it's the 250th anniversary of Beethoven's birth, more of which anon. So lots to get through. On with the show. Another busy month in the classical music world, even though it's just past Christmas, and we've brought along just one new story that's caught our eye. You'll find plenty more in the February issue. I'm starting off this month with our main story and a quick musical clip, just to give you a clue. So that was a piece of choral music called The Drowned Lovers by Judith Bingham. Judith Bingham has been awarded an OBE in the New Year's Honours, along with two other female composers, Errolyn Wallen and Helen Grime, who have got a CBE and an MBE, respectively. A wonderful year for female composers, and a sort of quite right too moment to get some of these composers just a little bit more into the limelight. You know, one always sort of wonders where all the female composers of the past are, but actually the present is absolutely full of the most wonderful talent, many of them female. Of course, we got to the stage probably when we don't need to call them female composers, but there we have it. So the News Honours list, you know, is generally sort of full of musical talent. Also in the news is Sheku Kanna Mason, who's the youngest, I think, or one of the youngest to be an awarded an MBE, the young cellist who's just released Elgar's Cello Concerto on Decca to great acclaim, more of which in a moment. But yeah, it's a decent list, I think.
I think it's really nice to see Humphrey Burton in the list, who's been knighted. So nice, Sir Humphrey.
That is great, actually, and a regular contributor to our magazine. But, of course, one of the founders, I think the founder of BBC Young Musician.
Absolutely.
And one of the presenters, of course, very early in the days.
Yeah, he was.
Very suave and sophisticated he was back in the day. And also a presenter and controller of the arts at BBC Two, you know, a huge figure on the BBC culture.
Yeah, lifetime.
Actually, so it's wonderful to see him. At last knighted, I think he should have come earlier, frankly.
Yeah. I was stunned. He hadn't been up until this point because he's been kind of a leading figure in that world for so long.
Exactly, but better late than never.
Yes, quite.
And also rather pleased for Timothy Walker, chief executive of the LPO, who's got a CBE. You know, sterling work.
Yeah.
These sort of chief executives, these suits behind the scene, rarely get sort of recognition.
True.
So it's nice to see him get a bit of as I say, recognition. But we've just been talking about Sheku, and so you've got another bit of news, haven't you, Michael, him?
Absolutely. Sheku's set to enter the UK album charts, not just the classical album chart, but the UK album chart this weekend. And should be entering the chart number 8, they think, which is thrilling, really, for him to be in the sort of the mainstream album charts. The first time a British classical instrumentalist has done that since Nigel Kennedy in 89.
So. And first cellist ever, I think.
I think probably, yeah.
It is the first cellist ever. And actually, I think we need to sort of put these in perspective because, of course, to get in to number 8 in the classical chart versus number 8 in the sort of all-round album chart, the difference is extraordinary. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, one is sales of hundreds, the other is streams and sales of thousands, maybe tens of thousands. So this is a huge, huge accolade
for
this young chap who's really, you know, I mean, the Decca have sort of been pressing the Jacqueline Dupre angle, but actually his influences go far wider. Mm-hmm. To Rostropovich and Beatrice Harrison. He's a very sophisticated musician, actually, and hats off to him.
Yeah, and it shows how much of he sort of captured the public sort of consciousness as well.
Yeah, not just because I kind of thought there was the big, you know, applause around him after the wedding of Harry and Meghan, obviously, but actually he's stood the test of time in the last year, because often that can kind of be a bit of a flash in the pan, but he's captured the imagination and everyone seems to know who he is beyond the classical music world.
And there's this thing which they're calling the Sheku effect as well, which is where lots of young musicians are taking up the cello or going back to the cello and, you know, applying to join orchestras and things, which is really great.
I'd say he looks very cool on the front of the album.
Yeah.
I mean, he really does. Really does look the part. I mean, it doesn't look forced. If he can carry it, he can carry it off.
Yeah.
Definitely.
You know, I think if I was dressed in Paul Smith, sat on an organ bench, I think it would look a bit daft.
I think so, definitely. You look marvellous.
I want to try it.
You should.
I've got to persuade Paul Smith to design me some clothes.
Yeah.
But no, he does. Yeah, no, I think he's a wonderful chap. I don't know if any of you have met him, but he's a really lovely, down to earth sort. As are all the Canamasons.
Mm. Mm.
You know what an incredible. I mean, isn't the mother now writing a memoir? Now,
yes. You know? Yeah. I mean, I bet she's got some stories to tell.
Because
how many of them are there? 4 or 5?
At least. Yeah, more, yeah.
And they're all incredibly. My boyfriend played in a string quartet with I think 3 of them, and he was just like, they were just on a whole different level to everyone else musically at the time, and that was probably 10 years ago now.
Mm. Oh, it's great stuff, and great to see him on the chart there with the likes of Selena Gomez and Rod Stewart.
Harry Styles.
Selena Gomez. Shall we listen to him play something from the album? This isn't actually the Elgar Cello Concerto. This is Nimrod from the Enigma Variations, performed by Sheku Canamason in an arrangement for him and another quintet of musicians. I don't know what the quintet of musicians is, but let's have a listen. Sheku Canamason playing with fellow musicians on an arrangement of Nimrod from Elgar's Enigma Variations. Freya, your go. Who's winning what this time?
Yeah, so we are full throttle on all filmy things at this time of year. We're very much in awards season, not only the BBC Music Magazine Awards. But the Academy Awards have announced their nominees for Best Score, and we've recently had the winners of the Golden Globes, and the BAFTAs have been nominated, and all those kind of things. So the Best Score nominees this year are Marriage Story, Joker, Little Women, 1917, and Star Wars The Rise of Skywalker. And most interestingly for me on this list is definitely Hilda... Let me just get this right. Hilda Guðnadóttir.
Absolutely.
Thank you. The hardest accent to pronounce. Who's been nominated for Joker, and she recently won the Golden Globe and an Emmy for her work on Chernobyl as well, which is an incredible score that she worked with going into the power plants and recording this kind of soundscapes. But Joker is a really interesting score, lots of kind of low cello stuff, because I think she trained as a cellist. And and obviously they've combined her score with a couple of songs from the world of music theatre and pop music, where they've got the Sondheim Send in the Clowns track and the slightly controversial Gary Glitter in there as well. So there's... It's just, I think,
Very controversial.
Exceptionally controversial.
I find the Joker, it's funny about Joker and Chernobyl, both of which I've seen. The soundtracks do not stay with me, but I do get the impression of a sort of very tense atmosphere in both. I mean, I found Joker very distressing. I found Chernobyl very tense. And I'm sure the soundtrack would have contributed to that. But I didn't come away with a sense
with
of, I must go and listen to the soundtrack, which I think is a hats off moment to
Oh, certainly. And I've not seen the film, but I've only heard the music, and I thought it was captivating. As sort of modernist sort of scores go. And I think she'll win. I think she'll win the Oscar. Yeah. She's really having a moment. The other nominees are great, though. It would be brilliant to see Thomas Newman win something. He shouldn't win for 1917, I think, but he just hasn't won, and he's been nominated so many times. And similarly to his cousin, Randy Newman has won 2 Oscars, but only for songs. So this would be a first score Oscar.
And I enjoyed the Desplat
Little Women's score. Beautiful.
I mean, you know, slightly sort of...
Wallpapery.
I thought it was slightly light, but then it's quite a lightish film.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed it. I actually did see someone's opinion of it, went into the cinema thinking, oh goodness, this is going to overwhelm. But it wasn't actually the case. So
absolutely. And he's a great composer. I mean, he's won 2 Oscars before.
It's not his turn then, is it?
It's not his turn. He won 2015, 2018. It's quite recently. But Randy Newman's score for Marriage Story is this really small little chamber score. It's sort of wistful and melancholic and kind of really sweet. So I'd love it if he won. But I do think it will be Joker. I think he'll do it.
The ones I was disappointed to not see on there, I think the scores from the last year were Midsommar, which I just thought was an incredible... I can't remember who wrote it, but it was just so atmospheric and so clever and kind of utilised the whole force of the orchestra, and also Us. That was another great film that I don't think across the board was actually...
I didn't see those films.
Yeah, brilliant.
And actually, the difference between the BAFTA nominations and the Oscars is Marriage Story isn't nominated for a BAFTA, but Jojo Rabbit is by Michael Giacchino, and that's a really sweet score as well.
Oh, is that Giacchino's score?
Yeah.
Oh, it's wonderful.
Very
that's
clever score.
Another great excuse to go and see it.
Really good music, and that's been nominated for a BAFTA, but not an Oscar.
So if Hilda wins, she will be... she was the only woman to appear on the shortlist of 14, and then obviously on the final nominees. But she became the first individual woman to win the Golden Globe for Best Original Score.
Yeah.
And if she wins the BAFTA in the same category, she'll also be the first individual female recipient. And if she wins the Oscar, she'll be the first woman in over 20 years. So
yes, long time.
It's quite sort of Victorian, isn't it, really?
Oh, it's just nuts, you know,
It's quite weird that... that in 2020, in a time where we think we're modern, we're catching up.
True, absolutely.
With all sorts of different areas.
And there's a lot of attention being placed on other aspects of all the film. Obviously, Little Women Greta Gerwig wasn't nominated for that. But there seems to rarely be enough attention on the actual composers. How white and male they tend to be, all those lists.
Yeah, you know, I was just looking back at the nominations list for the last, like, 4 decades of Emmys, and there's not a single woman composer nominated until...
She'll get it. This will be the year.
For series, and maybe the other categories. They've got loads of different music categories. But...
Yeah, but then you look at other areas, you know, how many Michelin-starred chefs are female, blah, blah, blah. You know, there's so many areas of, that just need a kick up the backside.
A lot of work to be
done. Frankly, there's a lot of work to be done. Right, let's move on for that. We've been going on for that far too long. Let's talk about the magazine. So we've decided to get back to Beethoven basics this month with our 250 reasons to celebrate Beethoven. It's the Beethoven 250th anniversary. And no matter what you think of Beethoven, whether you think we should be listening to wall-to-wall Beethoven, whether you think we should have a pop at other composers and put him to one side, we think we should immerse ourselves. And our CD features Beethoven Symphonies No. 5 and 7 performed by the BBC Philharmonic and the BBC Symphony Orchestra under Gianandrea Nozeda and Sakari Oromo, respectively. And our magazine is 15 pages of 250, as I say, reasons to celebrate Beethoven. So a bonanza, as you might say.
Absolutely.
Things from 20 key dates in his life to 20 great works to the 10 famous Beethoven fans, 10 must-read books, 10 quotes by and about Beethoven, 10 releases to look out for, the greatest performers. You know, you name it, yeah. Frankly, yes.
I love the miscellany.
The miscellany. Yeah, the miscellany is great. You know, actually, 12 years ago, we did 150 reasons to celebrate Elgar's anniversary, and that was fun because there was all sorts of miscellany in that as well. I can't even say it.
No, it's a really hard word.
But there is always interesting bits and bobs to, you know, to humanise these composers, because I always think of Beethoven as sort of a deaf, grumpy old German. And actually, there's so much sort of colour.
Definitely humour and all these
humour,
things,
absolutely. Yeah. And Beethoven, was that a lot of humour? I don't know.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, little bits of humour now and again.
In amongst the
But he had a hard life, you know, and So we hope you enjoy it. And I think you should hear a little extract from our cover disc, actually. So the opening of Symphony No. 5, taken at a rather lovely, swift pace by the BBC Phil. I have to say, it's rather joyful. Joyful for the first movement of the fifth, that is. Yes, that was our cover disc, Beethoven Symphony No. 5, the opening movement, obviously, performed by the BBC Philharmonic, conducted by Gianandrea Nozeda. And you can find that on the front of our magazine, which is out now in all good news agents, or even popping through your letterbox if you are a subscriber, which I hope you are. Freya,
yes.
we've got the awards, haven't we?
Yeah, this has been a busy issue.
It has been a busy issue. Come on, tell us
about the Oscars.
It's awards-tastic. Come on, tell us about those.
Right, so we have 21 nominated discs across 7 categories, as ever. And it's an eclectic bunch this year that's really exciting. A whole batch of premiere recordings, which is really interesting. Caroline Shaw's Disc of Chamber Works, Gabriel Jackson's choral work, retelling the Passion story. Elizabeth Kenny playing a whole batch of kind of very eccentric new works for Theorbo. Mm. It was interesting.
An organ disc.
Let's
not forget that.
Terribly sorry.
Yeah.
And also quite a few kind of underrated works by lesser known composers, and these. I was introduced to a whole host of new music by just having a real listen to these. So, yes, the awards site is now open. It's classical-music.com/awards, and you can listen to extracts from all of the discs, which is, I mean, a pretty enjoyable experience in and of itself. And then you can just vote for your picks.
I mean, alternatively, go on and stream them all.
Download
them, go and buy them, all these things. They are wonderful. And actually, I was counting through the number of labels represented, and something like 17 different labels represented, which is a bit of a record for us, because back in the day, it was always sort of a family of 5 or 6 labels that would churn out the best recordings. And now, because there's a sort of a bit of a shift away from the power of the label towards the power of the artist, the artists are really sort of going to the labels that are going to nurture what they want to do. Mm. So you really see all the labels producing, you know, equal standards. And it's an absolute joy. It really is interesting stuff as well.
It's not the Mozarts, the Beethovens, the same stuff we always see churned out. It's really kind of unusual stuff.
Absolutely. And that sort of happened just very naturally, didn't it? I mean, I were on the jury and had that lovely jury day with the rest of our colleagues. And it just sort of was a very natural sort of organic process. And we ended up with just this great variety of artists and labels, as you say. And yeah, I'm really pleased with the selection. So yeah, get voting,
indeed. And we're not going to play you an extract from any of them because it will be biased.
Well, absolutely.
Otherwise, we'll have to play all 21. That would be a terrible, terrible thing. We'd be sitting here for hours. Actually, it'd be wonderful.
It'd be lovely.
It would be great. But Michael, you're going to talk about, though, we're going to hear an extract from it, aren't we? The recording of the month.
We are. Should we hear an extract first?
Yeah, let's do it.
Well, why not? Let's have it.
Thank you.
So yes, that was pianist Angela Hewitt there playing the Giga, which is the sixth movement of the Partita number 1 in B flat major, which she has recorded along with all of the other partitas for Hyperion. And it's a gorgeous disc, no questioning that. And it's 20 years since she last recorded these works for Hyperion. And as the review says, it sort of feels a little bit like she's more at one with the repertoire, and it just feels a bit more sort of natural and a bit freer, I suppose. And she performs it on her own piano, which she told me really, really helps, because it's a piano she's very much at home with, quite
which
literally.
Which is a Fazioli.
Fazioli, yep. So she used her own piano from home, took it to the studio. And she told me that it was basically 20 years of playing this repertoire, which gave her the sort of the more flexibility, more colour and depth of expression that she could give this new recording. And it shines through in this. It's beautiful, yeah.
It is lovely to hear an artist revisit a major work like this, yeah. You know, 20 years later. It really is. It's going to be interesting to place them side by side and actually hear that freedom and all hear that. Because I think at the beginning, 20 years earlier, an artist probably feels they have something to prove, might be a little safer.
Mm.
So now that her reputation has been cemented, maybe there's sort of a license to go a little bit more wahey about it and enjoy it
and
really, yeah, exactly.
And she's been on that kind of Odyssey of, you know, playing so much Bach,
which
I guess would enlighten various elements that she may not have picked up.
And that was one of the reasons why, another reason why she went back, is because she'd played them all as part of the world tour and thought, well, actually, I know this better now and can go and let's have another go.
Mm. And they're very enjoyable to play, those partitas. I mean, they're not very easy to play, but they're very enjoyable. I mean, because they're sort of a little bit more fantastical than the preludes and fugues. Because with the preludes and fugues, of course, you've got a prelude and a fugue. You know, obviously, and the fugues are pretty naughty. There's no real sort of, you know, margin for much kind of freedom as there are in these partitas, which are essentially dance movements.
Mm. Right. A bit more colourful.
Yeah, I think, and a lot more variety. Not that there isn't a world tempered clavier. I'm sort of digging myself into a hole here. But I think with dance movements, I think there is a sense of joy, much more joy.
Sure. Mm.
You know. Absolutely. It's a wonderful recording.
It is. That's available on Hyperion, our recording of the month.
Love Fantastic. It. Right, time for First Listen. So First Listen is where we get a group of recordings each, and we sort of enthuse about them, discoveries that we've made over the past couple of weeks, but we want you to get involved as well. So do tell us what you've been listening to, what you've been enjoying, and email us at music@classical-music.com. And you could be published on our Music to My Ears page in the magazine. So, gosh, what an incentive that is. I'm going to kick off with a wonderful new disc I've discovered, performed by the viol group Phantasm. I love Phantasm's stuff. I mean, they've sort of delved into early English music, and they've done. I've heard them perform actually an arrangement of Bach's Art of Fugue. I heard that over in Arnstadt in Germany during a Bach festival. But this is an arrangement of various preludes and fugues from World Tempered Clavier, various organ works as well, and a couple of movements from the Musical Offering. And what's so wonderful about this is that they sort of are really free about it. And where you can't really alter the dynamic sort of mid-flow on the harpsichord or the organ, you can with a viol consort. So I've heard so many new fresh bits and pieces and bits of dynamic phrasing and rhythmic sort of, I don't know, sort of tricks. It's like coming afresh to these works, and one hears them in a completely new light. Let's hear an extract. It's the dying, or rather the last 32 seconds of the fugue, which ends Klavierübung 3. So it's the big fugue in E-flat for organ. That was a really kind of intimate interpretation of that, actually. Normally you hear it on full organ with the sort of pedal blasting through, but actually this is a sort of a chamber salon take to it, and I thought it was absolutely delightful, yeah. And it makes you hear these works completely in a new light. So, yeah. That's Johann Sebastian Bach, the Well-Tempered Consort, and that's performed by Phantasm on the Lin label.
Great.
Lovely.
Freya, what have you got?
Something a little more left of centre. I've brought Mighty Metamorphoses, which is an album of Piccolo Chamber Works, which everyone, I'm sure, was thrilled to see on the list.
Yes.
So this is a selection of mainly 21st century works for flute and piccolo, primarily piccolo. There's a Copland track in there as well. But this, it's a fascinating album because it kind of, it argues the case for piccolo and chamber music. Piccolo's always kind of shoved in an orchestra, does the twiddly bits right on top. But actually this is, it's only really recently that the piccolo kind of became seriously considered in this sphere, and actually only recently have composers started writing for the piccolo. So the repertoire is still slightly sparse, but this is a great selection. We've got works by Thea Musgrave, Matt Smith, and Gary Schocker. We're going to hear Piccolo Play, the fourth movement, Le Papillon, by Thea Musgrave. So that was the fourth movement, Le Papillon, of Piccolo Play by Thea Musgrave, and it kind of reflects the fluttering of a butterfly and all that jazz. Yeah, I just think it's a brilliant album, and it's, yes, it's Mighty Metamorphoses, and that is on the Etcetera Records label.
He's a good player, actually. I mean, the piccolo, I didn't realise it was quite as expressive as it is.
He makes a good case for it. My sister's a piccolo player, so I sent her the whole album afterwards. I was like, order these pieces of music. I was like, that's plenty for you to play.
Yeah, she just play the piccolo. It's just the piccolo.
She plays the flute as well, but I think she wants to kind of specialise in piccolo, and now, fortunately for all of us, she can.
Well,
this is great. You'll never have your hearing ever again.
It's nice while it lasted.
Michael, what's your choice?
So I've been a bit obsessed with this album. This is called Saudage, which is by the pianist, Swiss pianist Romain Nussbaum. This has been released on the Ars Production label. And it's a collection of pianos, solo piano works by Spanish, Portuguese, Brazilian and Argentinian composers. And it's just delightful. It's sort of melancholy, but it's sort of romantic and sweet and sort of just sort of lilts between the two. This track is by Granados and it's called Oriental or Danza Española. Well, yes, so that was, Oriental, the Danza Española by Granados. And that's from the album Sadaji by Romain Nussbaum.
So that brings us to actually to the end of this month's podcast. Don't forget our website, classical-music.com, where you can not only vote for all the awards nominations and choose your winner, but you can read all about the latest musical happenings, more reviews, in fact. We're also on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and we have an iPad edition. Of course, our print edition. So if you fancy a special discount, you can now get 30% off every six issues, which takes the cost down to £25.15, total bargain. You can claim the offer by visiting buysubscriptions.com/musicpodcast. So do go there. You can enjoy the magazine at a reduced, heftily reduced price for 6 months. It just remains for me to say goodbye, to thank our wonderful composer, Christopher Maxim, for these fantastic jingles you've been enjoying all the way through the podcast, and to thank Ben Hewitt and Jack Bateman for producing our podcast every single month. So it's goodbye from me, Freya and Michael. Be a whole fresh new set of BBC Music Mag team members to chat about the March issue next month. So see you then. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
The BBC Music.